Well, it's good to be here this morning. I've got a sermon prepared. If I were going to title this sermon, I would probably title it Angels. And that's kind of what I want to speak a little bit about this morning, is angels and how God uses angels. And so I'd like to start out reading in the Book of Mormon. On page 346.
Would you bring me that satchel, please? I'm one of these guys that's just a little bit short and too late most of the time. And just bring it up here. I'll get my Book of Mormon here. Thank you. Thank you.
This is out of the Book of Alma. 9th chapter, page 346, and starting in the 44th verse. And this is a little bit about what our brother was talking about in Sunday school this morning. He referred to this creation of man. "And now behold, if it were possible that our first parents could have gone forth and partaken of the tree of life, they would have been forever miserable, having no probationary state. And thus the plan of redemption would have been frustrated, and the word of God would have been void, taking none effect. But behold, it was not so, but it was appointed unto man that they must die, and after death they must come to judgment, and even the same judgment of which we have spoken, which is the end. And after God had appointed that these things should come unto man, behold, then he saw that it was expedient that man should know concerning the things thereof he had appointed unto them. Therefore he sent angels to converse with them, which caused men to behold of his glory. And they began from that time forth to call on his name. Therefore God conversed with man, and made known unto them the plan of redemption, which had been prepared from the foundation of the world. And this he made known unto them, according to their faith and repentance, and their holy works." Well, here we've read in the beginning where God began to work with man. And he did this through the ministering of angels. And the purpose of the angels in their early ministry was to teach man what God had set before him. And that was that man would live and die and would answer for their sins and stand before judgment. And this was the purpose in the ministry of the angel. And that's how the angels deal with us today, to proclaim the word of God to us so that we might know what God's purpose is in us and that we might have salvation, that we might be saved. And this we read in the 50th verse. "And this he made known unto them according to their faith and repentance and their holy works. Wherefore he gave commandments unto man, they having first transgressed the first commandments as to things which were temporal, and becoming as gods, knowing good from evil, placing themselves in the state to act, or being placed in a state to act according to their wills and pleasures, whether to do good or to do evil. Therefore God gave unto them commandments, after having made known unto them the plan of redemption, that they should not do evil, the penalty thereof being a second death, which was an everlasting death to all things pertaining unto righteousness." So God blessed man with angels, and he brought to us his word through the ministering of angels. And we can read in 2 Nephi, on page 161, start in the 13th chapter, starting in the 15th verse. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with fullness, with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his will, behold, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Then cometh the baptism of fire and of Holy Ghost, and then ye can speak with the tongue of angels, and shout the praises unto the Holy One of Israel. So if we have done this thing which Christ has directed us to do, repent of our sins, had a laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, after going down into the waters of baptism, it's given here that we should speak with the tongue of angels. And those of you that managed to hear me sing this morning can testify that didn't change my voice. I don't sing with the voice of angels. But how is it that we can speak with the tongue of angels after we go into baptism? And there's an explanation of that in the Book of Mormon. But this is given to us on page 163. And it's the second chapter. Might be on the wrong page. Page 163. And this is the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 6. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. And he's talking about baptism. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye have received the Holy Ghost, you could speak with the tongues of angels? And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ shall tell you all things that ye should do. Wherefore now after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought unto the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things what ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after that he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say, which he shall say unto you, shall ye observe to do. And so there it is, how we might speak with the tongue of angels, and that is to have the Holy Ghost, as it says here in the third verse, that angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so if we've received the Holy Ghost, we've received that which enables us to speak with the tongue of angels. But along with that, we have a responsibility in order to care for the Holy Ghost that abides within us. We must observe to do those things that Christ has told us. As it says here that once we have entered into the way, we should do those things. And so if we speak with the tongue of angels, we should continually abide by those things. And so that tells us some of what angels do. They speak of Jesus Christ. They speak of through the Holy Ghost, through His direction. And they deal with man according to His will. In the Book of Mormon, Moroni, on page 765, starting in the 20th verse of the 7th chapter. And this is about faith. And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak, and I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God, knowing all things, being from everlasting to everlasting, behold, He sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. And in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto the prophets by His own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were diverse ways that He did manifest things unto the children of men which were good. And all things which are good cometh of Christ, otherwise men are fallen. And there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, man began to exercise faith in Christ, and thus, by faith, they laid hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that He came, men also were saved by faith in His name, and by faith they became the sons of God. And assuredly as Christ liveth, He spake these words unto our fathers, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in My name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased because Christ hath ascended into heaven and hath sat down on the right hand of God to claim the Father His rights of mercy which He hath upon the children of men. For He hath answered the ends of the law, and He claimeth all those that have faith in Him. And they that have faith in Him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore, He advocateth the cause of the children of men, and He dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And so, the angels proclaim the coming of Christ, so that men would know when Christ would come and would be here. And if we're to have the tongue of an angel, these are the things that we should also be doing. Not only observing to do everything that Christ directs us to do, but we should also be proclaiming Christ and spreading His word one to another, sharing it with those that might be new to us. And we should also be speaking of the coming of Christ. We believe that Christ will return one day. And that too is a good thing to speak of, is the return of Christ and His coming again. And we can read about that in the book of Revelation, that He is returning. And many in today's world don't believe that. Many in today's world believe that Christ has come and that He died upon the cross to save mankind, and that's the end of it, and that there is no more. But there's so much more. And just like the angels that proclaim that strengthen men's faith, that they will believe in Christ, that's what we should be doing too as well. Because if we are to be directed by the Holy Ghost and to speak with the tongue of angels, then these are the things that we should speak of. The very same things that angels speak of and teach of. So we have a responsibility there to not only follow and do those things that would be good for the welfare of our souls, but also do those things that are good for the welfare of our brothers and our sisters, just like the angels do. They do, the angels follow the commandments of Christ and minister unto men according to His will for our benefit, for our wisdom and our knowledge, that we might be saved. And we should regard one another in the same manner, just as an angel would, for the benefit of our brothers and also for the benefit of ourselves. We've got an example of how angels minister to men in these latter days in the Revelation 14. We can read. This is the 14th chapter in the 6th and 7th verse. And many know this. I probably don't even need to read this. You already know what's here. And it says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." And we know this revelation in the 14th chapter, in this particular, these particular verses, to have been prophecy that had been fulfilled. And it had been fulfilled when the angel came and explained Joseph Smith and brought along with the Book of Mormon the restoration of the gospel, and that angel flew. And thus it was by hand of an angel that God restored His church. And that is not unlike what He has done in the past and how He first began to work with men through angels. And so it is only good and right that He would restore His gospel once again in this manner. In today's world, people think about angels and they just think of these heavenly bodies that are beautiful and winged and do wonderful, nice things and help you out when you need a tire changed on your car or some physical trial that you might be going through, whether it be in a hospital or an ailment or some temporal trial that you might be, people think of angels helping them out like that. But when you really think about God's purposes in angels and what angels come to do and are all about, people of the world don't really think about angels that way. They don't really think of the angel bringing the message, other than at Christmas time they think of the angel bringing the message of Jesus Christ. And then they put that out of their mind, and so they don't believe that when the gospel was restored in April 6, 1830, that it might have come through the hand of an angel. But we know that it did. And we can go to our outline history and we can read an account of that. And this is on page 36 in our outline history. And this is part of the account of Oliver Cowdery. And I'll read just part of what he says. And I'm going to pick it up in the second paragraph. This is as in the day, in the blaze of the day, yes, more above the glitter of the May sunbeam, which then shed its brilliantly over all the face of natural. Then His voice, though mild, pierced to the center, and His words, "I am thy fellow servant," dispelled every fear. We listened and we gazed, we admired, 'Twas the voice of an angel from glory. 'Twas a messenger from the Most High. And as we heard, we rejoiced. And while his love enkindled upon our souls, and we were wrapped in the vision of the Almighty, there was room for no doubt. Nowhere uncertainty, nowhere uncertainty had fled, and doubt had sunk, no more to rise. While fiction and deception had fled forever. But dear brother, think for a moment what joy filled our hearts, and with what surprise we must have bowed. For who would not have bowed to the knee for such a blessing? When we received under the hand of the holy priesthood, as he said, "Unto you, my fellow servants, in the name of the Messiah, I confer this priesthood, and this authority, which shall remain upon the earth, that the sons of Levi, may yet offer an offering unto the Lord in righteousness." And so they received the ministry. The holy priesthood was conferred through the hand of an angel, and that it would remain upon the earth until the sons of Levi would offer an acceptable sacrifice. And so here we are today in the midst of this world, and we should have a different understanding of what angels are and who they are and what that means to us. And we should have a different understanding of ourselves, of what it means when the scriptures tell us we should speak with the tongue of angels. And we're not alone. As the angel said there to Joseph and Oliver, he called them brothers. And this is how the angels regard us, as brothers. They minister unto us as brothers. Just like we should regard one another as brothers and sisters, we should also regard an angel as a brother and sister, a fellow servant, laboring in the same purpose that we should be about, spreading the word of God, teaching about Jesus Christ, telling about his second coming, proclaiming why we should have a hope within us for salvation. So yes, we should have that voice of an angel. Or the tongue of an angel. If we go to Matthew chapter 25, starting in the 13th verse. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. He says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." And we don't. We don't know the day and the hour when the Son of Man will come, when Christ will return. But we can surely proclaim that he will return. And it goes on and it talks about the kingdom of heaven in the 14th verse. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. And every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." And we can read through the parable here that's written, and we can read what happened. And many of us are already familiar with this. And I'm going to skip down a little bit. Down into the 19th verse. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he also that had received 2 talents came and said unto the Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter unto the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewn. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strewn. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto them which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And so here the Lord is speaking of a parable. And he's talking about talents, and talents in those days were money. But it's a parable about what the Lord had given over to his servants to take care of. And he has given us in these last days the gospel of his gospel to take care of it. And it's up to us to do those things with it that he would have us do. And so just like the angels, we should be about spreading that gospel and sharing it. And he's given us this great gift. This gift that would bring to us an opportunity for redemption and salvation. And we're not to hide it away. We're to share it and proclaim it. And to do those things like the angels do. The angels come and minister to men, that men would believe in Jesus Christ. So that when they would hear the word of God, that they would know it. This is a responsibility that we have. But we're not alone in it. Because at this very moment, somewhere in this world, there are angels ministering to men. And they are teaching men about faith. And they are teaching men about God. Those things didn't cease when Christ ascended to heaven. He still sends his angels. And God still uses them to teach men, as he did from the very beginning. And so if we do our part, he's doing his part. So we shouldn't be timid or shy about sharing the gospel. We shouldn't be afraid of what someone might think. We shouldn't be worried about whether we know everything or we know enough. Because if we have received that Holy Ghost, we know that God is working with that other person. And we should be willing to take that talent, take it out of our pocket, and use it. And realize that we have a brother who's out there laboring with us, and that's the angels, sent by God to do the very same thing that we have been instructed to do. Well, I'd like to read another scripture. out of the Bible. And this is in Mark chapter 11. And when Jesus taught parables, he taught a parable like the parable of the talents or the parable of the virgins, and he spoke in a story. And occasionally Jesus taught a parable in his actions and what he did. And this is one of the occasions where Jesus taught a parable by his actions and by what he did. And I'm going to pick this up in the 11th chapter and the 12th verse. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came. If happy, that he might find any, seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happy, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went down into the temple. And so here's this fig tree, and it's growing, and Christ sees it, and he's happy. And he goes to it because he thinks he's going to find fruit there to eat. He's hungry. And he's thinking all these wonderful things about this fig tree, and then he comes to it and he curses it because it has no fruit. And it would seem odd because it says here it was not the time of figs. So it was out of season. But he cursed it anyway. He was teaching a parable. And we're like that fig tree. And he expects us to have fruit. In season and out of season, all of the time, so that when he comes and he sees us and he says, there is somebody out there, he sees me and he says, there's Rick, he's over there, he's one of my servants, he's one of my children, I expect that when I get over there and talk to him, he is going to have fruit and he is going to bear some fruit. And that's how Christ looked at this fig tree. Just like the servant who hid that talent in the ground. We're not to do that. We're to bear fruit continually, in season and out of season. Well, how do we do that? Well, there's many things we can do. We're told that we can pray, and that we should pray, and that we should always pray over everything. And that's something we can do in season and out of season. Whether we're happy, whether we're sad, whether things are going great, or whether things are going not so great. We can pray, and we can ask God to help us. We can pray to God and praise Him for the things He's done for us. We can pray for our brothers and sisters. We can pray for the man on the street, and we can bear fruit in season and out of season. We can read here a little bit further in Mark. What he says about prayer. It says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall receive them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against thy brother. Forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, might forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Another example of being out of season. If I have aught with my brother, and I might feel like I'm justified, I might think, well, I have every perfect right to be angry or to be offended, because they knew I didn't like that, or it's perfectly within my legal right, or what, however it is that we rationalize that out, we're instructed here to forgive. Out of season. though our heart and our emotions and our mind would tell us, no, I don't need to do that, I don't want to do that, he's telling me right here, I need to do that. That's being out of season, having fruits out of season. And that's how we're to be all of the time. When someone needs help, when someone needs our prayers, even if it's inconvenient, we should do our best and do it. We should always be doing those things that would cause someone to believe in Jesus Christ just like an angel. Continually. Blessing those that curse us. Just like it says here. Forgiving those that we have ought against. So that we might also be forgiven. Being in season continually. Just as the angels would be. Speaking with the tongues of angels. Being guided by the Holy Ghost. Doing those things that Christ has directed us. Those are the things that we should be about doing these days. As we have received the Holy Ghost. And we have entered into the way. And those of us that we know that have not entered into the way. It is up to us to do what we can. To help them to understand. To strengthen their faith in Jesus Christ. That they too might enter into the way. And that we might have fulfilled that ministry that's been given to us through the hand of an angel. Well, I thank you for your time. And I hope that this has been encouraging. I know that scriptures are always encouraging to me. And thank you.
Thank you.